Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, rain with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, loud as the Lord's sea. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us along the way, thou who hast bowed thy mighty head, keep us forever, forever, in the past we pray.
Okay.
Email obtained by the Post has revealed that Hunter Biden introduced a Ukrainian businessman. Email obtained by the Post has revealed that Hunter Biden introduced a Ukrainian businessman to his father, Joe Biden.
It reads, "Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together. It's really an honor and pleasure." The email was signed by an advisor to the board of Burisma. It was dated in 2015, about a year after Hunter joined the board there. However, this email contradicts Mr. Biden's claim that he's, quote, and I'm quoting him here, never spoke to his son about overseas business dealings.
Mr. Biden.
Rosebuds know the blooming early May. Kate knows love.
Said real loud, I'm black and I'm proud, I'm black and I'm proud. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How y'all doing? This air was so crisp out there this morning. They told me, they said it was going to be 60 degrees. Don't y'all believe it? It's still cool out there. It's going to probably, about 2 or 3 o'clock warm up, and then Easter's supposed to be a little warmer. I told you I like getting up in the morning and enjoying all of God's different seasons and stuff. But this is, it's like real crisp in the morning time now. So I got to adjust to that. I used to be enjoying the snow. Now I'm enjoying it's just a fresh air. You know how you breathe in, not with your chest, just breathe all the way in and just breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out, how good it is. How y'all doing this morning? You know, this is Holy Week for those of us who are Christians. Oh, my God, we were with Reverend Midley Collier yesterday for the last words, and it was really good being with her yesterday. And, of course, we've had Holy Week all the week. And let me take a moment before I say some other stuff to invite you. If you don't have a church to go to, you can visit us tomorrow on 49th and King Drive, Pastor Andrew Hunt Jr., you can tune in to Facebook or YouTube. And, you know, this is and the reason I bring that up, because this is a very special time for Christians. I was looking at some data, and they were saying only 30% people is into this now. That might be one of our problems. And it was talking about how low the percentage, and I left my stats at home. I don't know how I did that, because I switched up. Just people believe in having children. A family, and I'll bring it next week. And the fact that it was so low, I was trying to figure out, who did they talk to? Or is that true? Is that the reason why everything is upside down in our community? Because folks don't know that there is a God. They have nothing to believe in. You got to believe in something. You cannot go around and have nothing to believe in. They don't believe in Christmas. Oh, that white Santa Claus, and it's really not even about him. Some white in St. Nicholas, they don't even know the history of St. Nicholas, how it came about, him giving toys to children, doing some to children. All that Easter bunny, it's not even about the bunny. Who cares? People have always came up with different stuff, but you could talk to them about what is Good Friday? What was Palm Sunday? You know, I remember, and most folks don't know about this because they wasn't... They only got into Selma doing after the Selma Bridge, after Edmund Pettus Bridge. But even before that, as I told y'all, we were in Selma and we were doing different things. I told y'all a whole piece on the day of Edmund Pettus Bridge. But before that, we would take a group of people to some of the white churches. You know, we would just drive to some of those white churches. And I just distinctly remember a couple of Palm Sundays. Then we went into some of the white churches. Hosanna, Hosanna. That's a whole nother story about that. But we did go into to those churches on Palm Sunday. And this was long before, quite a few weeks of, few months before Jimmie Lee Jackson was assassinated. But when you think of Palm Sunday, Dr. King used to always say that 11 o'clock was the most segregated hour in our country. And the question is why. And so that was just a whole other thing. So last Sunday we had Palm Sunday, and this Sunday is going to be Easter. So I just want to let you know this is one of the most holiest time for Christians. And maybe one of the problems we're having with our moral fiber right now is because our children have nothing to believe in. And, you know, everything is so hateful. People just hate. It's the only thing motivate them is hate. So if you got hate, you can't be telling these children to stop hurting and stop doing these things because you're not giving them a better way. And I'm going to. Charlie, we just need to figure out how we're going to bring them back to Christ because I believe Christ is all. You know, some people might not believe that, but if you look at how, if you start with Genesis and move on, that God made us in his image. He created animals, but he created the universe, but he made us in his image. And we can imitate. That's why we're just different in terms of how we are able to create and to do things. And sometimes we don't use half of our mind, but if you don't have anything to believe in and something is wrong, and you can't just pretend that you believe in Dr. King without understanding that Dr. King was a minister, and it was this minister that was leading our movement. And most folks will take a moment to think about it. When I see these children, they're so mean and for no reason. And I want to ask the question, is the adult responsible for some of that hatred and some of that meanness? Like, we can't talk about stuff or deal with stuff without being mean. And there's a demonic spirit out here that jumps in the middle of everything we have, and it's mean. They can't discuss stuff without being mean. So this is Holy Weekend. I'm going to have the pastor on at 7 o'clock hour. But before I do that, let me, I know y'all was waiting to see what I had to say about the election. Let me say a few things about the election. First of all, I hope that Brandon govern this city well, and I hope that he put a staff around him. And first of all, we're going to look, I don't know whether he put his transition team together that's going to help him transition into government, what he's going to do or not. So I don't know who those people are yet, or whether he's done that or not, because when he put his transition team together, he will announce his transition team, which will tell you how he's going to transition into what I saw in the paper where he went and he met with Mayor Lightfoot, which was a good start. Because, look, I wouldn't want this mess for 100 years, all the things that's going to come down on this city and all the stuff that we have to do. So we're wishing him well. We have to, and we have to pray for him and want him to, because after all, we live in the city. We don't just live in our little, they said neighborhood, but neighborhood is different from a community. A neighborhood is where everybody drops stuff off and you have no ownership. And a community is where you have people. So even though you live in, you know, where you have your community. So even though you're in a community, you still live in the city of Chicago, and you wouldn't want to see it tow up a downtown, tow up a we don't repay when people kill each other and shoot each other. And, you know, when we wake up in the morning, every morning, especially over the weekend, we out. You know, those of us who lived during the wartime or Vietnam time know that we would, every day they gave us an uptake on how many folks was killed in the Vietnam War. And now we get that now every weekend. The question is, why are we killing ourselves? And those are some of the things. Hopefully he addressed some of those things and tried to his best ability, because he is a young man. And a lot of young folks voted for him. And he gave them hope and belief. They believe that he's going to be able to do some things. So let's keep that hope. As they said, Dr. King said, keep hope alive. That came from Dr. King. Dr. King said, a hopeless people is a helpless people. So we do want him to succeed. And I hope that, see, hope alive then, that he and Vallis will meet. And that's the meeting I'm waiting on, that he and Vallis do meet. Let me just say that, and I still will maintain that, Vallis was not an evil man, even though we had to deal with him being so evil. I don't think so. I worked with him before in the past, and most of the things he said he was going to do, he did. And he worked with when I was an alderman, he worked very closely with us with our schools and some of the other things. So I would hope that, and they probably all made this phone. See, that's what y'all mess up at. Y'all be so hateful. I remember when Hillary Clinton was running against Barack Obama, and I told y'all, oh, y'all were so hateful. Some of y'all cursed me out almost because I would tell y'all why y'all got to be so mean. We got a Barack. If Barack is running, oh, you must be with Hillary. Nah, but you don't have to be so hateful. Y'all talked about that woman so bad like she had a tail. And I told y'all they'll be getting back together after the election. What did Obama do? When Obama made her Secretary of State, y'all started loving her again. So that means that there's some kind of balance you don't have there, something in your brain that you need to hate to make a decision. And hate never good decision. That's why in this Holy Week, as we talk about our Christianity, those of us who are Christians, we should also talk about that. There's such a – I was talking to during the campaign, I was talking to a couple of folks who were supporting Brandon, and they were just so mean. And I asked them, why are you so mean? Well, I'm not mean. I said, but, you know, in the Bible it says you should not bear false witness against your neighbor. And there's a clique in us as a people that those who control us want us not to take a moment to think that they have to think the only way we can participate in anything is through hate, and that's not true. We have the intelligence to make decisions, and we've created a lot of things. I'm going to have Dr. Anderson back on like I was going to have him before, and I was dealing with exceptional black. And we don't talk about the exceptionally black people. And there are a lot of exceptionally, how you think we made it, our children right now think that they can't make it. And I'm hoping that, not if you said an example, the mayor-elect said, the example for the world, the country, I hope the example is to say that, yes, our children can learn, they will learn, and if the folks not teaching them, get them out of here. So I'm hoping, I think one of the most, education and economics are two most important things in the city. And the children in Chicago can't read and they don't have math. So what do we do? If a person can't read, they have an attitude. They get an attitude real bad. And if their parents can't have reason, so you got double jeopardy there. So on this station, on my show, I've had people to come on and say, it's the parents' fault. No, it's not. I'm not saying we don't take a role in that. But if you sit somebody in a classroom for 8 hours, they should learn something. So we might need to look at the curriculums. I'm really dependent and hopefully on him to really take a closer look at the educational piece. Because just like they're talking about, we need to have the police officer take a psychological test, which is true, because we got some crazies in there, and you have some good ones. I think that if we're going to have something with our children, some people with our children all day, that's very precious. And they should constantly take some sight. They should take psychological tests and also a drop. And we got very good teachers in the system, don't get me wrong. But you got some folks just signing up just to be in there, and some, you know, and they're doing crazy stuff. So I would think that that's one thing that in the future that we need to think about. And, you know, if you got somebody dealing with your precious mind, that they should take a psychological. Because even the pressure sometimes of being with them, those children can't take it. And some of those people are, because we got a lot of other folks that have come in and just jumped in the system, and we need to just see and just what we're going to do here. But our children have got to. It makes no sense to spend that money, much money, and the children can't read. I don't know why. And then you say, blame it on the parents. And then why do we need schools? And we do need them, don't get me wrong. What we're going to do about the education. If a child is educated and taught how to think, critical thinking, you'll see a different child out there. We'll see, what you want? Boom. I can't talk to you. Boom. You know, attitude instead of really talking. And sometimes I think our children feel like nobody cares. You know, you got, and when they listen to their music, not all of their music, but when they listen to some of the music, it's all hate, it's all bees, it's not respecting your mama, it's a lot of stuff. And then they listen to those of us who's supposed to be adults, supposed to be so this and that, and they hear hate. Now, a lot of the young folks heard hate all through this election. You can't tell me that you can't deal with opposition without a lot of hate. You know, I never did put hate out when I was running, even though there's a lot of lies and a lot of hate put on me. I tried to stay with what it is, because as we celebrate Holy Week, Bevel and Dr. King told us that sometimes those of us staff, as we'd be studying, because we had to do a lot of studying, that the Constitution in this country was kind of built off of the Lord's Prayer and off the Bible. And now, you know, if you look in Exodus and you read some of that, and you see some of the things, the laws and stuff that God gave Moses, and I'm not talking about thou shalt not kill, I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments, because even all through that, when you go from chapter 19 to maybe 22 or 23, you'll see some things that God gave Moses for the people to live by that he was bringing out of Egypt. And then you go on over to the New Testament, you'll see, and this is why we have words like servant, when you are a public servant, and when you are elected, you're not there to be a king, a queen, or all the other stuff. You're there to serve. And that's why we go to the court and we ask for mercy. If we can't ask for mercy on the court, you got a judge, you know, you got all kind of things, and you can see that. Hate is a very negative force. When he said, when Jesus said, love your enemies, so I'm not love, that's not what he means. I remember when Jesse Jr. was out there really fighting, lying on me and working to unseat me, and people say, don't you hate him? I'm just using that for the example, y'all. I said, nah. I look at him. I've been knowing him too long. When I see him, if I see him, I hug him, because I've been knowing him a long time. That means that you move past, because when you hate, you become a prisoner to your thought and to everything. The devil take control, because we use the word devil, but it's other spirits can kind of jump in you and do other things. Hate is a really bad spirit. That's why you hear a lot of killing. We loved our people so much from the time that we were enslaved up through my generation and some past my generation, that everything we did it for our people. And that's why when you look at all of the things, when Frederick Douglass talked to Lincoln, that was for the love of our people. When you want to go across our history in this country, it was for the love of our people. Dr. King died, and it's interesting that God allowed his life to be taken as he was assassinated, because, man, if God don't allow it, you know, during the Holy Week, and it's something to really think about. But hate is such a force that got us in Ukraine right now, spending billions and billions of dollars. But you can't have nothing. We don't have the same money to build a science lab in black schools, or a math to make sure these children know what they need to know, or putting music. It's all right to put art, and I hope, even though Johnson said that Mayor-elect was going to put art in the school, we want to put music in the school, you know, do a lot of other stuff. So I'm hoping that the president-elect succeed, and none of us should not want him not to succeed. The same way if Vallis had gotten in, I would hope that we would still want him to succeed. But I hope him and Vallis have a meeting. I saw them on one of the debates, and Vallis said, well, we're friends. Good. Because some of the things and ideas that he had was good, but y'all was too busy screaming that you wouldn't even know what they were. And I hope that they look at some of the things and so that we can get past this summer without a lot of blood. I hope that some of the ideas of how to help and train these adults 18 to 24, trying to get them in training, just things we need to do. So that they, I think Violas had some good ideas, you know, and I would say now that people don't, No, I didn't endorse anybody, but I told you what I knew about Violas, and I won't take that back. And I told you to stop being so hateful. So we will see. You talking to me? Oh, okay. We will see what's going to happen here, but we should all pray and we should work whatever we can do to make sure that the mayor-elect is successful, because if he's not successful, we live here. We're going to go under. And let's hope that those police officers don't retire real quick, that he's able to meet with them and to assure them of what he's going to do, and that he's not influenced by the squad or by the silence in them or stuff we need. So just hope. We got to have hope, and we got to pray, and we got to work. And while we're doing all that, we as a people have got to look at what we're going to do, what we're going to drop our bucket in our community to make our children, have our children able to smile and not duck and be worried, and have, make sure that they can ride their bikes, they can jump rope. We can have a community again. Because if, in the black community, if we don't look at maintaining and stabilizing the black community, we will have no community. Because if you look, everybody, Chicago is a city of ethnicity. You have ethnic groups. And every group that come here set up their community. I remember watching the debate when they was talking to the Mexican leaders, and they were saying, we're the second largest economy in this city, and we contribute a lot. And I laughed to myself because black folks can't say that without saying black and brown. And that don't mean that you hate anybody. But I just looked at that. So we have a lot of stuff to do. And I'm going to be talking about those aldermen, not right now, because I want to talk to a few of y'all before I, because it's 7 o'clock hour, I know I have my pastor. But he got something. He up, Alice, who went there, had something to deal with, because I don't know. You got a bunch of folks down there that don't even understand government. They're so busy fighting over power that they have not taken a moment to understand this government, and it's very important that the council people understand and that they govern, and it's important that the mayor govern. In Chicago, we have strong council, weak mayor, but not greedy mayor, where we, I was talking to a couple of aldermen, and they were saying most of you, the council is being led by the brown and the white aldermen. You know, they will coalesce. But how do you go from 19 committees to 28? Makes no sense. That's your taxes. Because each committee then go, and they got to have a budget, and they got to have a staff, and they got to have insurance, have all of that stuff. And you already have a pension shortage. And some of those committees that they already have could have been combined. But, and they didn't give the, they're not giving the alderman who's been elected, and when they get sworn in, to help have a say into the reorganization. But instead, it was a power grab. And it was not thought of by black aldermen. Just understand. They just, the ones who was part of it, just got in there. I want mass. I want mass. I want mass. And as I said, government is not like that. I still don't think they should have no done 28 committees. I know. I was down there. And most of the committees that's there, and the people don't even come to me, committee meetings, half of them. And most of the committees that's there could have been combined, like I said. Harold put the committee, took finance from budget. It used to be one, because he had to give Larry Bloom or somebody some and Tim Evans some, you know. So that's how you got that pulled off. And you got a lot of committees that can really be combined, park district and special event, whatever they call that, and a lot of other stuff. And do the committees really meet and talk about stuff? I mean, come on, y'all. Let's put something on your mind about these folks on 28 or 29 committee, and they organized before the other people came in. Something to think about, which means that that's something that a mayor-elect going to have to deal with. And as I said, we are wishing them well. We want them to succeed. And I recommend that he and Fowler sit down and talk. We have to, and we don't want them to fail. We got to hold them up for the good. Now, next week, because I got quite a few calls on the phone. I want to take some before the 7 o'clock hour. I want to discuss, and maybe you can tell me, a lot of seniors didn't vote, and that's unusual. I'm not going to take a break. And they're not going to, that's unusual. And we're going to have to dig into that. And I don't know whether it's because, first they had us by race to make us think. Now they got people saying, them old folks are somewhere and sit down. Them old folks. And they do this, so seniors might say, I don't know. Because most of the things that everybody's enjoying right now is based off of the sacrifices that the seniors made so that we could see a day of our young people. But they get in there and be led by some forces to destroy the foundation. If you ain't got no foundation, your house will crumble. So anyway, it's Holy Day, and I know I have to get a little bit of it's Holy Week, and it culminates tomorrow. So we're going to talk about some of this stuff next week, but I'm going to try to take some calls before I go. And as I said, let's hope that Brandon succeeds, and I just want to see the transition team and hope he's sitting and talk with Valis. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON. I'm on 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We on iHeartRadio, take us wherever you go. We are on Blog Talk if you miss us. We're on Facebook and group Facebook, I think. I'm going to take a few calls, and I'm going to do a song before I got to go out. I'm going to go on one of my songs. Okay? All right. Ron.
Good morning, Ms. Tillman. First of all, you are absolutely correct. I'll make a comment about those committees. I had an article here, and it gave information where they're really not meeting, and they really haven't done anything. So, but I'll talk about that.
They don't need it. We're going to have a whole discussion on that. Folks need to call. They don't need all those committees. It's some greed going on here, and it's not governed. It's not going to be governing you, and you know. And they're not giving the new mayor a chance to come in, or the new alderman a chance to come in. I think that's kind of selfish.
You're right. And again, I agree with you also. I wish all the best to Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
And Ms. Jim, I was glad to see that naturally that he met with Lori. I hope that the discussion of a continuation of some form of her Invest Southwest, people are talking about some of the things you're getting a chance to see it come to fruition.
Uh-huh.
But you know yourself, that wasn't going to occur overnight. Communities that have been disinvested in for decades, you're not going to be able to change that overnight. So
you got to know where you got to find the funds. You got to know where the funds are coming from. There are a lot of things you can do, and I'll talk about that when we talk politics next week, because there are things that change the community that the aldermen also have a hand in, that they got to know how to do it to invest and get things done. All of it is not, as I said, was not all on Lori. Like, it's not going to all be on Brandon. The aldermen have a role to play, but they got to be not trying to be power grabbing like they're doing. But there are some ways to get your community built and to get black folks to get some stuff in your community. But it's how you go about it. And it's not, but we still need the investment. Don't get me wrong, but there are some ways to help rebuild your community other than sitting down there doing that mess some of them doing.
And my last point, I agree with you. You mentioned, you talk about this transition team and people that are going to be around. I hope he does listen to Paul. And what I mean by that, doing to Tim, most of the ideas, one of the people from the Chicago Merc said in the Tribune that their business is very mobile. If you want to put this financial, transaction tax on. He said we're very mobile. We can move.
Well, quite a few of them said that they were going to not bring.
Yeah,
we don't want
businesses to pay taxes.
Yeah.
We want them to pay the taxes, but Ms. Tillman, I hope he brings some people around him that do have good business savvy and not only look to just taxes as the only proposal. You know, so
finish this comment later. We're going to see.
Sure.
What I want to see is transition team. I don't want to knock him with it. Who is transition team and what it really is. And I would think that he's probably meeting with the Chamber of Commerce. He's going to meet with the business folks. That's part of his duty. He's not an activist now, and he's not an organizer for the teachers union. He's the mayor of the city of Chicago, one of the greatest cities in the world. And that's how he got to carry it.
More importantly, just a wonderful, happy Easter weekend to you and your family.
Thank you, and keep listening. I'm going to have my pastor on at the 7 o'clock hour. Thank you, Ron. It's nice to talk to you. Thank you. I tell you. Okay.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and happy Easter.
To you too,
happy,
Kay.
Resurrection Day on tomorrow. I wanted to say that when you were talking about education and how the parents or the children are angry, the parents are angry because they can't read, because they've been through the Chicago public school system and they haven't gotten anything, so they haven't gotten education. So as a community, we have special needs. So as we take care of the children, we have to take care of the parents as well.
Yeah, I agree. In some places, in some instances, you got to have a wraparound, a holistic effect.
Right, so I hope they use the buildings, because I live in South Shore. I hope they use some of the buildings of the schools that they closed as community centers where people can go in and get the services they need, and we can bring the community up that way, you know, give the kids the arts and the after-school programs and things that they need. So I'm not saying what other communities need, but for the Black community, we need those things.
Well, one of the things I said, Kay, is that we want Mayor-elect Brandon to succeed, and I hope we do sit and talk to Paul. Paul has some great ideas about those schools closed and how they can use them, and I'm hoping. He said it was friends, so I hope they talk, and we do have to do that with the wraparound. Kay, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Frank.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Tillman. Happy Easter to you.
To you, too.
Ms. Tillman, I just called around your side because you mentioned about Hillary, and I agree with you, because I know for a fact we do have too many in our community with hate in their heart. I view it as haterism, jealousy. But I just want to remind you, you know what I'm saying, what you're saying about Hillary. I think we thought her probably just as an opponent. But Ms. Tillman, remember when she came out, she was so afraid of President Obama, how powerful and influential she was.
No, I'm not going to revisit that. I'm not going back there. Frank, let me say this. That's why I just took you. But let me tell you something. What I was giving the example, regardless of whatever she said, I said the community hated her. And hate didn't matter because they went on, they became friends. So stop your hate.
She said, remember, Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated in November. So it was like, don't get your hopes up. And all our leaders came on. That turned all of us up. And Ms. Tillman, how would you
Frank, I love you. And that's why I took you. Other than that, I would let you.
Okay.
But I think that I was. I was using that for regardless of whatever. We use hate, and then they end up together being strong. Love is.
I think Brandon. We all hoping and wishing well. I think he will meet with Paul Vallis.
Uh-huh.
Okay, on the flag of good sportsmanship, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm gonna tell you, Mr. Tillman, I don't want him to be around no one that's negative. I really don't. We wish them that's
I
cool,
agree
Brandon.
With you. Gotta have love. Gotta have God.
Yes,
and
yes,
that's absolute. Thank you, Frank. I still take you in spite of how your buddy is. I love you to death. Thank you.
Okay.
I take him. I know you're gonna be saying some stuff, but I still take him. Okay. Cliff.
Hey, Miss Dorothy.
Hi.
Hey, say it loud.
Yeah.
I'm Black and I'm proud.
Uh-huh.
And this is our land.
Yeah.
But we still love the white man. Anyway,
okay.
So, hey, listen, you voted for Paul Vallis, right?
You don't know who I voted for. You weren't in the booth with me. What's your question?
Oh, okay. Well,
I never told anybody who to vote for on this station. I told them what I know about Paul Vallis and all those lies they was telling. I would not let them tell on the station because I did work with Paul when I was the alderman. There's a difference. Now, what else you want to say?
Okay, so you got a real personal relationship with Paul.
No, I don't have a personal relationship. When I was the alderman, when things was needed in my ward, at the schools and stuff, he took care of it. Anything else, Cliff?
Yep, he was here in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and in 2012, and he didn't last too long.
Now, we move it on now, because we move on to the election.
Yeah,
what are you? Are you going to church tomorrow?
I'm going to try to, you know, but I'm a little disappointed. Again.
Well, I tell you what I want you to do, Cliff. My pastor going to be on at the 7 o'clock hour, so listen to me. Yeah, listen, okay?
Hey, did you guys have an Easter egg hunt at your church?
My pastor going to be on at the 7 o'clock hour. Please listen, Cliff. You the one who said my pastor sound like a girl, so you better be lucky I took you.
Oh, yeah,
bye-bye.
Yeah.
Woo, Jesus. Mike O'Connor.
Hi, this is, well, as you know.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
This is a rarity for me, as you know. I'm in Northwestern Hospital as we speak.
Say what, baby?
I'm in Northwestern.
Oh, my God, I got to pray for you, my brother. How you doing?
Well, I thank you for that. Look, I'm doing fine. I'm up listening to you at 6-something in the morning, so you know I'm doing great.
Yeah,
but
I was in Northwestern in August. I was really sick, too, Michael, but God brought me on through.
Yeah, and God going to bring me through.
Yes.
I already know that.
Yes.
The only thing I'll miss is the Easter service over at where I go, and I go to Christ Universal Temple. That's with Pastor Derek Wells.
Uh-huh.
Not pastor, but spiritual leader. We don't
Are they on
that.
YouTube?
Yeah, they're on YouTube.
Well, you can watch it on YouTube.
They're on everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Johnny was the one that married me. I was very close with Johnny Coleman when I got married.
Yeah.
She married me in 1967 when she was with Unity before she moved out. Uh-huh. So, you know, I know about them very much so.
Right. Well, that's why after I left, after I was able to choose in my father's house, I was able to choose when I got 18, where I wanted to go, I decided to go to Christ Universal, and I've been going ever since.
Very good.
I'm 66 as of this Friday. I'll be 66. I mean, Friday,
mm-hmm.
but the 9th, whatever the 9th is, Sunday,
mm-hmm.
I'll be 66.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, you know, I called you about politics.
I know you did. You're about to meet. You used all up the other time now. Go on. I ain't got about 7 more minutes. Got 30
okay,
seconds.
Look, I know. Look, let me just say that all the men, as you know, are legislators.
Right.
They get budgets that will allow them to do what they need to do, specifically when it comes to the direction of making legislation that they have to vote on through committees. Now you're right. A lot of these aldermen don't go to committee.
They be empty, don't it?
Yeah. But I take that. Let me tell you something. I enjoy that because that allows me to come up to the mic and other people, George Blakemore and the boys to come up in the streets to let them know what we feel and where we feel.
Well, let me do this,
Michael,
because I got a board. Because I'm not going to take calls after the 7 o'clock hour at first because my pastor's coming on. Let me try to empty the board. We're going to deal with this whole thing about the aldermen and these committees.
Well, they're legislators, and they're supposed to have committees, and they're supposed
to
do their
committees. Yeah, we're going
to
talk. And
they're supposed to make legislation, and they're supposed to vote on it.
I love you. God bless you.
Love you back.
God
bless you.
I'm going to pray for you. And listen to my church at 7 o'clock, at the 11 o'clock hour on YouTube.
Okay.
And my pastor come on at 7. Micah, God bless you. We're going to talk more next week. I plead the blood of Jesus for you. Thank you. Whew. Lord, y'all, I got to make it short. Dylan Curtis and Will, I'm going to come real quick to y'all because I want one of my songs. I want to go out one of my songs. Okay. Dylan.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
My comment was this. You know, you play that saying loud, I'm black and I'm proud, but I was kind of curious as to why yourself and the rest of the older coons decided to sell out the black man and ride with Paul Vallis. in the mayoral
race. Well, see, you're being hateful, and this is Holy Week, so I'm not going to take that. I love you. God bless you. I still stand with what I said about Paul Vallis. You don't know Paul Vallis. You're only dealing in hate, just like you don't know Brandon. You can't deal in hate on either side, and I always talk about that on my show.
You can't say that.
That's what I'm talking about. And you know what really get to me? You got these men. Not all, because people like O'Connor, he brought some nice stuff and run. They're sitting back there, and they're on this phone spitting all this hate instead of trying to give these young men some direction, because they so hate about something happened to them. They have not got over something they didn't do or they weren't involved in. Because you'd find most of the black men who was involved in the struggle, whichever way it was, they might disagree, but they got something positive to say. But the men need to be giving these young men some direction, and it don't need to be all this mess.
Thank Courtney's call.
Courtney.
Hey, good morning. Happy Easter.
Uh-huh. You
this
too.
Is Courtney. That word hate, Dorothy, I used to use it, and this friend told me one day, she said, stop saying that. She said, that's a vibration, and it vibrates all around the world, all over the earth, so... Okay. It's a strong.
It's strong, but let me tell you something. The devil is strong. And
yes,
that's
he is.
The problem with, that's
I don't use it anymore, Dorothy.
No, I will use it, because that's the problem, is that we act like there's no devil. And that man, that spirit is all over us. The devil is, we're dealing with principalities, and
yes,
it is. And we don't tell them to get behind me or get out of my way. You got in order to fight the enemy, you got to identify. Thank you so much, Courtney. Okay, I'm trying to get my engineer over there. Okay, Mike, you got 30 seconds.
Okay. Black folks need to stay on the issues. And I had a relative call me and talk about the devil was doing this and doing that, and they're Christian. I said, well, what's God doing? So get your eyes off the devil and focus on the creator that created everything. If you want to do some warfare, ask your creator to take care of the business and get them folks out of the way and get what you need in your neighborhood and your issues.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much. That was well put. Will, how you doing, my brother?
Good morning.
Good morning. These folks, they lit up real fast up here. Will, y'all was up waiting on me this morning, huh?
Yes, congratulations to Brandon Johnson and the young people of Chicago who's still with him.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I want to talk about, Chicago in 2022 overtime bill stands at $441 million, with $210 going to the police.
Okay,
so in sharp increase.
Okay, what's your point, Will? I'll let you talk because I know you was out there in the struggle. So what's your point?
Hold on. $578 million since 2016 we paid out the city of Chicago for police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say that the city council is trying to do with this what they did, similar to what they did with Harold, but a little bit different swing to
it. They don't even know what they did with Harold, so don't give them that credit.
I'm not talking about what I say. It's not always because the 29th took a position against Harold.
Oh, the 29-21. Uh-huh. Okay, I got you.
I think when they create these new committees, they're trying to position themselves to obstruct the Johnson.
I think what happened is, I understand what you're saying now, Will. I think the worst thing in the world, and it wasn't the black alderman who suggested to do that. It was your brown and white alderman got together, and the blacks just jumped up in the middle of it. I think it's wrong. They don't need, they don't need
no
29 committee.
They
need to give the mayor-elect and the aldermans-elect a chance to come in there, and it's so wrong. And you make a good point, Will. Thank you. Okay? You through?
All right, have a good day.
You got 10 seconds for your last point. What you finna say? Will? Now, I let Will talk because Will, see, some of these brothers just calling and yelling because they got issues. Some of them got issues with themselves. Some got issues with all kind of stuff. But Will was a brother. We was all out there in that movement together. So even though he and I might disagree on some things, he have put time out and he have done things and worked on behalf of our community. Some of these folks haven't done anything. And I think some of them be calling in to keep this energy going in our community and keep that division between your young and your old. And I'm going to see as we examine, first time in the history, that black folks, black the seniors did not vote en masse. And I want to find out. Okay, Minister Plumpton, you got 30 seconds. I got to go on my break. 30 seconds, you got 15 seconds, Minister Plumpton. You just called 15 seconds, and I got to go on my break.
We on Yashalom. Artists is for Wynn, Brandon Wynn, will be meeting tomorrow,
okay.
April 9th, from 2:30 to 4:30, Lake Grove Village, 35.
He's telling me I got to go at 7 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock. I only took you because I ain't taking calls on the other side until later. Thank you, Minister Plump. God bless you. Talk of Chicago, 69WVON, 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. I got songs for y'all, but I haven't been able to pull them up. I got my pastor coming on the 7 o'clock hour. We on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. Give me a minute. We'll be right back. Love y'all dearly. And I'll be right back on the other end. You'll hear that great minister, Pastor Andrew Hunt, Jr., pastor of Liberty Baptist Church, a great young man. My pastor worked every day, him and his wife, too. But he give us the word of God. He is definitely a man of God. I'll be right back, y'all. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
By Cook County prosecutors. He was released last year and says he's focusing on getting justice for wrongfully convicted people. Wright was 17 years old when he was allegedly forced to sign a confession after a 14-hour interrogation that his attorney described as abusive.
A federal civil rights probe is being opened after police fatally shot a black teenager last month in Washington, D.C. Video footage of the March 18th incident was released showing 17-year-old Delano Martin sleeping in a possible stolen vehicle. An officer entering the backseat, Martin awakens and then steps on the accelerator before the officer shoots him six times. The U.S. Attorney's Office announced a civil rights investigation into the circumstances leading to Martin's death, as the teen's mother is calling for the officer to be fired and charged.
Anti-apartheid activist Randall Robinson is laid to rest. A trailblazer who advocated reparations for the descendants of slaves died on the island of St. Kitts, where he lived in self-imposed exile for two decades. California's black congresswoman Maxine Waters is proud of the achievement she and her dear friend accomplished together.
We both traveled to the Central African Republic, where we retrieved Aristide and brought him back to Jamaica before he ended in South Africa and coming back to Haiti eventually. But I believe we saved his life in the way that we went up there, rented a plane, and brought him back.
Congresswoman Waters speaking with Roland Martin. Robinson was president of the lobbying organization TransAfrica, founder of the Free South Africa Movement, and worked tirelessly on behalf of Haitian refugees. Robinson died after a battle with pneumonia. He was 81.
And finally, artists like Lori Sam Jolly are working with the English heritage to highlight black aristocrats during the medieval era. One example is Chappelle, who was a 17th century aristocrat in rural England. His status was elevated after he saved his owner's life during a fire. Chappelle went on to collect a £20 pension annually. The Black Aristocratic Art Project began back in 2007 and is hoping that young people will learn about these black British figures through art. For more on these stories and international, national, state, and local news affecting the black community, listen to the Black Information Network on the iHeartRadio app or log on to BINnews.com. I'm Terry McCready along with Kevin Brown on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
It's Brother Booker of 94 Nissan of South Holland, the home of Get You Done. That's right. If you have a job or a fixed income and been turned down for lack of credit, have no fear. The brother's here.
Get me done, brother.
Without a doubt. Make your way to 94 Nissan of South Holland, where we are the home of Get You Done. When I say I got you, I got you.
Get me done, brother.
Call our Diamond Department today, 708-333-2000. Putting dreams in driveways, 94 Nissan. Nissan of South Holland, 94Nissan.com.
It's time to focus.
with Robert McKay. Quality conversation, protecting, preserving, and preparing our past, present, and future. Sunday evenings at 4 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
There is nothing as important as your health and the health of your family. UChicago Medicine knows that. So every Saturday through their Community Health Focus Hour broadcast from 1 until 2 p.m. on WVON, they cover all health topics relative to you living a better life. Their doctors, experts, hosts, and community leaders share facts and advice on how you can live healthier. Tune in Saturdays at 1 p.m., sponsored by UChicago Medicine at the forefront.
Nearly 48% of black women and 44% of black men have some form of heart disease. The rate of heart disease is also higher in the growing middle and upper class black community than in white Americans with similar socioeconomic status. This is Dana Devine, host of the Equal Health, Equal Hope show. This Saturday, we'll look at several factors that explain why the rate is higher in our middle and upper class black communities. Education and awareness are just the beginning. Saturdays at 11 a.m., listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
Sunday, April 9th, it's a soulful Easter brunch at Josephine's Southern Cooking, 436 East 79th Street. Sunday, April 9th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., with performances by the Ken Davis Project and music by Dr. Al Greer. It's BYOB, champagne or wine only. Also, the kids can take pictures with Peter Cottontail. So come and enjoy the food, fashion, and music in our newly remodeled event space. Make your reservations today by calling 773-487-2900. 773-487-2900. It's a soulful Easter brunch and kids pageant. Sunday, April 9th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Josephine Southern Cooking, 436 East 79th Street with the Ken Davis Project and Dr. Al Greer. Make your reservations today by calling 773-487-2900. That's 773-487-2900. 2900. Mother Wade and Victor Love will be looking for you. We'll see you on Easter Sunday.
This is Reverend Dr. Otis Moss III at Trinity United Church of Christ, located at 400 West 95th Street on the south side of Chicago. We invite you to worship here at Trinity United Church of Christ. We have three worship services, 7:30 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m. Or join us on WVON during our broadcast every Sunday at 6 p.m. WVON.
WVON, 1450.
Live from Xfinity Studios, celebrating 60 years, it's the icon of American radio, WVON, Berlin, Chicago.
It's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Don't need the road.
difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
We got some difficult days ahead.
I don't mind.
It really doesn't matter with me now. But to come to the place where our father died and cried, we're going to have a good time today, because when I was reading the other day, I think it was on Monday, because, you know, I read the Bible in the morning time, and I was reading Exodus, and I was into the whole thing, and I got another kind of understanding of that whole mountaintop experience that Dr. King was talking about, because it went through the whole thing about different times Aaron and Moses went to the mountain, the different stuff when God appeared in that cloud, and there's a lot of stuff. I'm not going to try to preach because I got my pastors. But that gave me the understanding when he talked to us about that mountaintop experience. When you really allow to go to the Most High with the mountaintop, you have an experience with God. And he can show you. And I think that when Dr. King said it really doesn't matter with me, I looked over and I seen what I saw when I read that is, as Moses saw and talked to God, Dr. King saw God and said, this is where we are, but your people are going to have some difficult days, but we're going to be all right. And he said, well, it really doesn't matter with me now. You know, I can feel it. I had a feeling on Tuesday morning when I woke up and I was reading it. So, you know, kind of understood that. And that's why we happy today to have my pastor on today. Because we're going to really have to talk about that and why is it. And that come to the place where my father died or cried out. People keep forgetting that Dr. King was a reverend. You know, and I was talking earlier about, and we're having some problems with our music this morning, so I can't play a lot of music, y'all. We're still fixing this stuff up because I have some music for you, but I have to can't play any to bring my past on. But as I was talking about the black folks turning their back on their God, you know, kind of, but that's a whole other thing. You have to go to the Bible class, read yourself, you know, in the how they just turn their backs. But we'll talk about that another time. It's 7 o'clock. We won't be able to do a black enough for you because we're still working it out. But I think we might be able to hear Dr. King just before I bring my pastor on. It's 7 o'clock wherever you are in the city, in the country, in the world. We're still going to take that deep breath, and then we're going to bring on Dr. King because I can't. We're still working on getting this board together. Take that deep breath, y'all. Come on, Justin. I know you're not feeling well, son, but take this breath with me. Black. Two more times, because we like the Trinity, and then we're going to bring Slide Dr. King in if you can. Black. One more time for the Spirit of the God and the Holy Ghost and the Trinity in this holy week. Black. Dr. King, can you talk to me? Because the show can't get no music. I got it. Tell me about it. Plead with him, Dr. King.
Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian...
That's Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., pastor, all the ministers leading us since we've been in this country.
The Negro is to be free. He must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation proclamation.
You can't do it if you don't know God.
Don't let anybody take your man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of.
Our heritage is rooted in
somebody
God.
Somebody told a lie one day.
Yeah.
They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms.
You made you run from your God, too.
Always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I am beautiful. We are back, we're back. Justin, bring me a pen and a piece of paper. I'm back, y'all. Woo, 7 o'clock hour. We're going to try to do what we can do here. I'm happy. I'm going to talk to Chicago 69 at WVO head. Our number is 773-591-69. We're streaming live at www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio, tickets wherever you go. We're on Facebook. We're on Group Facebook. You can get us on Blog Talk. This is Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, right here in the great city of Chicago at this great radio station, WVON. And it's everything great and good this morning because I'm having a good time this morning. You know, even though we're still pulling together, the devil's a lie. But anyway, I'm happy this morning because, you know, I told you earlier this is Holy Week and that you can lock him in. This is Holy Week and that as Christian, this is very, very, I'm having a little static there. This is something going on with me, Brandon. I don't know. Okay. This is very, very special to us as a people, Holy Week. And we've had a wonderful time this week from Liberty, you know. We started Tuesday morning with breakfast and going to some of the women's shelters. Wednesday we had a great time with our prayers and praying for people and having just a good time running everywhere. And, you know, yesterday, Minister Plumby, yesterday we was at with Reverend Collier and we had a wonderful time. And we had some last night. And today we're going to have our children youth day. And tomorrow we will be having Easter service. But I wanted, you know, I bring my pastor to you every Christmas and Easter. And I think we need a word even more so. What am I hearing? I'm getting I'm going to see. Okay, Pastor, you can bear with me this morning. I know y'all are calling already, but I'm going to tell y'all, my pastor is going to talk, and I might take calls for the last 10 minutes, 5 minutes of the call. So you can get your question together, and it's going to be 30-second question, and then he's going to answer you. And if you already called Minister Plump, don't call back now. But anyway, because my board is lighting up, I'm glad to know y'all love my pastor. So we're going to talk about this whole thing about blacks and spirituality. We said religion, but spirituality and what effect is it having with the children not even being involved. Pastor, welcome to Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. Good morning and happy Easter, happy resurrection to you and to all those that are listening this morning. It is a great time in our faith calendar to talk and discuss even in more depth about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, Pastor. God is so good when you know. And I had such a good time at Midi College yesterday and a good time with you. I'm just walking on the Spirit of God. I mean, I'm having a good time. I feel that spirit Dr. King talked about. I feel
We had a great time. Great time this week.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to let you, because I think people need to understand this stuff is no spook. God is no spook. The resurrection is no spook. Jesus is no spook. Our spirituality is what have brought us over. And the research showed that we have, religion have, for lack of a better word, we say spirituality, have gone down in this country to 37%.
Right.
But at the same time, I think it's saying that blacks, the research said that black Americans are still the most religious in America. And there got to be a reason for that. But it still have gone down. I submit to you, that's why we got a lot of problems right now, because a lot of folks don't know or understand God. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to say, hey, 719, I'm going to let you just teach and preach, you're really teaching this morning to our listeners. And at the last, about 5 or 10 minutes to 8, I'll take some calls. So go ahead, Pastor.
All right. Well, what you are saying is absolutely on target. And I would say it's almost impossible to argue against the fact that the decline in our community socially and from a crime standpoint, it clearly education as well is clearly impacted by the decline in the presence of the church. If you really in-depthly look at that and look at it objectively, even if you're not a believer and you are one that studies society, it's a clear link between the decline in our community and the decline in the presence of the church.
Okay.
And so then we got to ask ourselves, then what brings about that decline? And what I see, Sister Tillman, is oftentimes both sides point the finger at one another. And what I really want to, and those that want to call in for questions, you know, for what, almost 10 years now?
Yeah.
I've asked the question about the legitimacy of Christ and what can the church do? I mean, that's little kindergarten answers really for me at this stage of my life.
Uh-huh.
So I think we really want to delve in tonight about today, about both sides that point the finger. So when we deal with this decline and we look at Resurrection Sunday, I want us today to look at what the church can do better.
Okay.
And what the community can do better.
Mm-hmm.
For us to create the synergy that's necessary to lean on the God of our weary years and the God of our silent tears,
mm-hmm.
the one that has brought us thus far on the way. There is no doubt about that. It tickles me when I hear people say, oh, we don't need the church. Well, if we didn't have the church, you'd be still riding on the back of the bus.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't be voting, you know. And so the church is critical. Our God
and still been enslaved. Wait, still been enslaved for the Douglas was a minister.
Absolutely. Our God is paramount to who we are. And so when you talk about that connection between African Americans and the church, is because we were oppressed. And God has a special, we learned this from the narrative of the life of Jesus and from Resurrection Sunday. There's a special relationship between God and the oppressed.
Uh-huh.
God speaks through the oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so he spoke to America through us. And let's really talk about it, Sister Tillman. Mm-hmm. He spoke to the world through us.
Yeah, through us. That's right.
Through us, the world liberation movements were started through us. And we know Dr. King took a little bit out the playbook of Gandhi,
uh-huh.
but what made it successful, though, is that he put God and Jesus on that Gandhi playbook.
Right, right.
Which transformed the world. And there are still people today trying to grab that playbook,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want to fully play by the rules.
I like that. Uh-huh.
Right, they don't want to play by the rules.
Okay.
See, the rules require you to have a God mind to march,
mm-hmm.
a God mind to proclaim justice.
Okay.
And so what you see now is something that looks like what was done, but at its foundation, it's not rooted in spirituality.
Right.
So
right.
That, and then you get violence, you get hate talk,
mm-hmm.
because it's not rooted in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I think we need to get back to when we look at the church. Well, so everybody that wants to probably call and have critical analysis of the church, let's talk first with what the church can do.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to implore, I know many brothers and sisters are on the line today that are looking at, and will be at church tomorrow, and we're all looking for a glorious day. But I think when we look at Resurrection Sunday, and we look at the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we look at his sacrifice
mm-hmm.
yesterday and all week.
Yeah.
Christ sacrificed and died for us.
Uh-huh.
And so on Sunday, we celebrate now he rose again. But he rose again in what? Power.
All power.
And so
that's
the power that we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power we have for the civil rights movement. That's the power that we have every day. Single moms that may be on the phone, on the line, that are trying to feed their children, husbands that are working 2-3 jobs. That's that power.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that power comes from for sustaining. And so I think what the church we have to get back to is the Jesus we celebrate on tomorrow and really every Sunday. You know that for us.
Every Sunday.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That Jesus is a Jesus for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not just for the people in the church.
Right. Right.
God so loved the world.
And I think at a certain, Jesus got regimented to the walls of the church. And when Jesus gets regimented to the walls of the church, people are not apt to go outside of the walls of the church.
Well, you need to wait now. For some people listening, I know what you mean, he's regimented to the walls. What do you, can you elaborate on that for just a moment for the audience?
Yeah, and I will say, I'm glad you asked, and I will say we have a lot of dynamic ministries in Chicago doing this, okay, beyond our church, doing some great work. So what I mean by that is because the church was so popular at the Black church's genesis, people just instinctively came to church.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to come up with community programs, walking the streets, talking to people, giving them sandwiches, outside of food, praying with people, extending ourselves to parents, having events for children. That's what we're trying to kick off today. We have pleaded for children to come from various places to be a part of our Easter fellowship today from 11 to 3 at 4849 South King Drive, because we want the children to come into God's house.
Mm-hmm.
Know that they're welcome to God's house. You don't have to be a member.
Right.
You don't have to have on a certain attire. And so really going beyond the walls of the community for programs and for people seeing our faces, and not just that you got to pay a whole lot of money for.
Right.
We realize people just want you to say hello. Just want you to say hello, and they open up. They begin to talk. And so we have to realize that Jesus came for everybody. He came to save the world, not just the people in the Baptist church, the Catholic church, the Methodist church. The one that's in no church at all, our church should be for them.
Well, you know what, Pastor? Which brings us to the point of, is it the First Amendment or Second? First Amendment, well, or is it what the amendment that, with your religion, you know, like you can't, separate.
First, yeah.
Okay.
First,
well,
yeah.
Really what people don't understand what that was about, separating the church and the state, had to do with, as this Constitution and everything was being built, this country was being built, you had different denominations in the Christian faith. And they all was trying to pull, and this was that was that. So our founding fathers put that First Amendment in based off the fact of the different denominations within the Christian religion. Folks don't know that yet. They think it was just done for anybody who wanted to come. I'm not knocking that, but since we was built on In God We Trust, and we was built on based off of God and Christian and Jesus, that and all these folks thought they we this, we that, and they was keeping their money and putting it, so they had to put that together. Folks go do the history to find out it was done to make sure that all of the Christian religion, that you government could not interfere, could not, you had to separate. That was to make these different groups separate their Christianity from government. Am I correct?
Yeah. And in that, I think you really touched on an internal issue that is better but needs to be addressed within the church as well. You know, when people say to me, if they don't know I'm a pastor, because I don't wear a pastor sign on my head.
And you go to work every day. And I know
When people say, you know, what are you? And I say, I'm a Christian. And they say, no, what are you? I'm a Christian. No, what are you? Now I finally realize what they're asking me. They want to know my denomination. And so what was brilliant about our founding fathers is we are all Christians. We are all Christians. And they're different polity, different theological claims, but it's all roads leading to the same place. And when we, and in the, particularly in the Black community, for years there was a divide on denomination. One group holier than the other. One bumping and jumping and singing more than the other. And so that kind of mindset, that kind of talk, further divides the body of Christ, and it divides our community. It divides our community. So our founding fathers had it right by saying, we are all
we're going to separate church and state, but it's also a theological claim that we are all Christians.
Yes, yes, yes.
We are all Christians. And so we need to operate and move and build the kingdom under that mantra that we are all Christians.
Now, the other thing, Pastor, is sometimes folks have a hard time, but those of us who grew up and we saw the miracle of God, and I tell folks, don't tell me about Moses in the Red Sea because I was in the middle of it, and I've seen God create miracles. So, but there are some folks who really don't understand this wonders of this beauty of what God have, how he loved us and made us in the gym. They don't, it's hard for some people to grasp this whole thing of God giving his only son, and this man, Jesus, rose up, so he had to be a prophet, all that kind of stuff. Some folks don't understand, and this is the first time we have such a large amount of black folks missing that spirituality, not understanding. Is there any way you can talk to those who really don't can't grasp this whole thing? They just seem like a myth to them.
Yeah, it does. And you know, the reason why it appears to be a myth is because they are thinking in the natural and not the spiritual.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if what you have to do is you have to look all around you, there are supernatural things happening every day.
Uh-huh. That's right.
God is, you know, the clouds in the sky, the constellations that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's indicative that there's a higher power. Mm-hmm. And so what I do, Sister Tillman, when I'm dealing with people like that, I think when we take them through the formula of Jesus as Lord and raising from the dead,
mm-hmm.
I think that that's like college algebra.
Okay, that's deep.
Because that's so difficult for somebody to put their arms around.
Uh-huh.
So the first step I think we need to take, they need to know there is a God.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Because what black people specialize in is what James Evans calls in his book, We Have Been Believers, we specialize in Jesusology.
And
it's not that Jesus should be cheapened, but there is a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So when we introduce the faith, I believe the most adequate way to present it to someone in that vein that has not felt the revelation of Christ through the Holy Spirit in them is to start from the standpoint, there is a God. And this God created. And then you got the Old Testament. And then this God gave his son.
Yeah.
And so when you understand Jesus within the context of the entire Bible and not the cliff notes, then Jesus can become more real.
Well, you know, it's hard for some people to see Mary having a virgin birth. Well,
that's right.
And those who can't conceive that don't understand that, don't understand when God breathed the breath of life into Adams. He put his DNA into Adams like no man. So I can see if people understood that God, Jesus had to have a different DNA. So he didn't have man DNA. He had God DNA. So God had to get some purities brought him through. So I had a whole discussion with him. I said, we got to start. It took 100 pounds of clay, as that song say. And he blew, he breathed in him the breath of life, his DNA. He had to breathe Jesus. So Jesus had God DNA that they don't understand. So that's why it's difficult. But yet they see being on this microphone with you is because of God, because of Jesus, because of our spirituality, because he loved us so much, all the stuff he did for us to be able to do.
And what you're getting at, Sister Tillman, really is we have to segregate the academic natural discussion from the spiritual side.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the church comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are sitting in a sanctuary as body of believers,
mm-hmm.
we're inviting the Holy Spirit into our heart.
Uh-huh.
And it is the Holy Spirit alone that allows us to believe and know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead.
Uh-huh.
There's no book we're going to read. There's no biology that would support Mary having a virgin birth.
Uh-huh.
But when we're in the presence of the Word, when we seek, see, you got to seek God to understand that.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people call in to you, they call in to me, and it's great academic discussion,
mm-hmm.
Great book discussion, but at the foundation of our faith is something that you cannot describe.
Right, right.
And so that's why we have to be intentional of making sure people have that spiritual experience.
Yes.
That spiritual experience. And then the revelations of Christ can be realized.
Right. Well, you know, Pastor, and black people have to understand that God chose an African woman to breathe that life into. People want to, they want to go through
right.
like Jesus born. We know that it was an African woman. I mean,
right.
all scientists have proven that all life, all DNA go back to that black woman, that Jesus was black. Well, that's not even, that's non-debatable. But folks like to
right.
have that conversation to get away from what the real issue of God and Jesus and the spirituality. We knocked it off the
yeah.
table right now. We know that a black woman, God chose a black woman. And that's why I get upset when I tell black women it's on us. He chose a black woman to have his son to come through.
Yeah, and, you know, even that discussion with in our own community
uh-huh.
of, you know, people, the devil tricking us
yeah.
To say it's white Jesus and all of this,
uh-huh.
and then we having this discussion in our community, it really is a degradation of the work of pastors and theologians, black pastors and theologians throughout this country
uh-huh.
who do not believe in a white Jesus, who have studied hours on the African origins of the Bible,
uh-huh.
people like Reverend Al Sampson and the African Heritage Bible.
Uh-huh.
And so that notion of white Jesus is so archaic and so old, but, you know, we don't respect one another.
Yeah.
So we often think, oh, that preacher don't know anything, or some preachers, oh, that guy doesn't know anything. And I think we need a platform of mutual love and respect, where we can talk to one another from a standpoint of more of understanding than criticizing. Because
mm-hmm.
it's amazing to me when a white person has to say something, a lot of times black folks ain't so critical. But we're real critical
uh-huh.
of one another.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
real critical of one another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Pastor, that's why I tell folks all the time, you know, black women have a lot of love and try to help, because since our life came from us, we have an understanding of all people, and that's why
yes.
we are more loving toward, not that we're going to take this, but we are more loving, and that hate stuff don't work is because all DNA, wherever you are in the world, came from a black woman, and God have used us to spread his word throughout the world.
Yeah.
And folks don't understand that. Okay, Pastor, we just have this board lighting up, but I'm not coming to y'all. I may be in another 5 or 10 minutes, but I got to keep on letting the pastor preach unless y'all don't come to church tomorrow. Go on, Pastor. You got to. Pastor, you said
let's kind of rewind it to where we started and kind of pull this thing into Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And to all of your callers, whatever you want to call it, I'm fine. You know, we minor and majors and major and minors.
Yeah, yeah.
What I care about, what I'm going to talk about tomorrow is Jesus rising.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be bogged down by what we call it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? One thing when we talk about the decay in our community, what it may be, and I don't profess to have all the answers for the community either. I think us pulling away from the church, pulling away from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has made us soft.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say soft, I mean the way we handle adversity
yes.
now is different because we don't have or don't use primarily the example of Jesus.
Yeah, the word.
Everything,
yeah.
I'm preaching tomorrow on the thrill of the comeback.
Yeah, I like that.
And so.
So the thrill ain't gone, huh, Pastor?
Yeah, the thrill of the comeback. The thrill in the comeback. So the Easter account, really the whole life of Jesus, but the Easter account that we're talking about today is about our Lord overcoming profound adversity.
Mm-hmm.
Adversity to the extent of death and rising again.
Mm-hmm.
So our forefathers, when they read this thing about Jesus, the Son of God, through this, they realized that they could rise up out of adversity.
Yeah.
And what the death of Jesus says to us is, even if it doesn't work out the way we want it to, because death is no way working out the way you want it to.
Uh-huh.
Even if it doesn't work out the way we want it to, we will still yet rise.
Yeah.
And now the mantra in our community is, if it doesn't work out the way we want it to, we're going to be hateful.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We're
going to tear up.
Yeah.
And instead of rising above what seems to be our demise,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that an election, a job, an economic system may not have worked out, but God is still there, and we can rise out of the grave of despair. But now we are so soft, mm-hmm. that once things don't work out our way, we get mad.
Yeah.
When we have a mayor-elect try to be gracious to his opponent,
mm-hmm.
people in the crowd boo and yell, but that's not the spirit of Christ.
Right, right.
Right. I got to have it my way. Sometimes things don't go our way because God has a greater plan.
We
used to understand that. We have abandoned that,
yeah.
for our own sensitivities and what we want things to be. That's mm-hmm. problematic.
Yeah.
That's problematic towards our march towards further justice. Very problematic.
Yeah, Pastor, that make all, and Pastor, one of the things is that if you look through our history in this country, and you can go past this country, those who've been to Africa and stuff will understand and see the spirituality, how closely related we are to the spirituality of Africa.
Yes.
And, you know, it's really something, because I went up in the bush over in, was I in Senegal or Ghana? So I was in the bush. See, these folks just go on their little tour. And I heard these ladies making them sounds, Pastor. And I started to shout because that was my grandmama's sound. And when I went to the Ashanti King's funeral, representing this country, and the Ashanti King had been dead for a few months. And they have rituals how they keep it. They don't bury you right away. See, all that is part of it, too, the pre-pass, the ritual, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And even the president got to go wash his blood. So I said to myself, I got to go here, and I got to go and pay respect to the king. They sat me mm-hmm. next to the queen mother. And you had people from all over the world there, presidents and all kinds. And they came and got me first. I said to myself, and I had my team with me, Professor Small and Wade Noble and Jeffrey. I took all of them as part of my team. And I said, oh, my God, I didn't tell him what I was thinking. I said, this body going to stink. I got to go look at this body. Been dead this long. God forgive me, Pastor.
Yeah,
but then when I
yeah.
got in there, the king was laying up with all his gold and stuff on, looking so beautiful and alive, like he was just sleeping. And I looked mm-hmm. and I said to my host that had, they have those little, put them those shorts over here. I said, oh, he looks so beautiful. How you do this? He's on the cooling board. And I heard my grandmama say, my grandmama said, thank you, Lord, for not having me on that cooling board this morning. I wanted to shout up in that, Pastor, because
right.
that was part of what we were, the cooling board. You know, that's what I said, and we're going to get into it on this show, not today. This whole disconnect from the seniors and the young people and the old people, that never was in our in our thing before, but that's that cooling board. You got to look back to Madea and look grandmama and all that. But that was really something. You saw that spirit. It's a spirit. So we disconnect from the spirit of God, and we supposed to be so Africa. I call them ukabukas. You disconnect
right.
from that. You have really disconnected from your ancestor because the spirit is there. I heard them sounds those old ladies was making when I went to another African, and they was, out of God did I hear my grandmama and them old folks and when I was growing up. It's sending chills to me now, Pastor.
You disconnect
from God. You disconnect from your Jesus. You have really disconnected from the motherland.
That's right.
That just came to me, Pastor.
From our heritage.
Yeah.
Yeah, from our heritage.
Yeah.
I remember that their prayer was, Lord, thank you that my bed was not my cooling board.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So that means thank you that I woke up this morning alive.
Yeah, yeah, Pastor.
If I woke up this morning alive, I got another chance to overcome whatever happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday's gone. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's powerful.
That's very powerful, Pastor. So what we got to do And I'm going to tell you that I got to go to the board in a minute. And when I go to the board, Pastor, I'm going to take three calls at one time to answer them in one because I'm going to try to empty my board. I got one line open, y'all, but it's and I got a lot of lines on it. But, you know, we got to somehow bring, and I don't know how we're going to do it. We're going to talk about it. We got to first bring all these young folks back to just get rid of this anger and let them know that you're not alone. These 12-year-olds that shot up those kids in Florida, they felt alone. Each and every one of my children would tell you, and you know my children, when they went off to college, I said, look, I always tell them, you're not alone. Whatever go on, nor you and God. Just call on God. Call on Jesus. Never feel like you're alone. But if you don't know who to call on, you know, you can mess up. Because like I told one of my callers this morning, she said, you need to start. I said, no. First of all, we got to recognize that we're not fighting flesh and blood. This principality stuff is real out here, and it has grabbed our children.
Yeah, it's spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
It's spiritual war, and that's what we were talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
That to really get this thing, you got to understand this as a spiritual matter.
Right.
And so yes, we have to address it politically. Yes, we got to address it economically. But there has to be a spirituality interwoven into our steps.
Right.
And if it's not, the program will fall on its face.
Right.
And this is spiritual warfare out here. And so when we look at one group of people as being purely pure and justice, we've dropped the ball. Because the Bible says that principalities and powers and there's evil spirits in high places.
Yeah.
That means every place,
mm-hmm.
every place. So the one that you thinking you putting all your trust in, there's some evil stuff going on there.
Right, right, Pastor.
And so our spiritual lenses have to be open to that
mm-hmm.
so that we are not so naive to when people have our rhetoric and come and sing our little church songs that we back down and we let them run amok.
Yeah.
Our spiritual sense ought to make them be accountable, as the mantra of the Black Caucus is, no permanent friends, no permanent enemies.
Right, right.
Right? The only way you can identify that one enemy.
Right, right, Pastor.
Is by having a mantra like that, because that's a spiritual lens. They might not have understood that, but that's a spiritual lens that understands your environment.
You're right.
Can shift at any time. And what's happening in the Black community, there's been a shift.
Mm-hmm.
And the shift has pulled us away from our God, and in such a rapid fashion that we now need to recover. But we got to put on spiritual lenses to identify this.
Well, what
that's the only way we can do it.
What I'm gonna do, y'all, I'm gonna come to the phone. You can't make a whole. I don't have about a few minutes. I got about 10 minutes to enter this board, and I'm gonna take two calls at a time, and then the pastor answer. 773-591-1690. And I'm going to go to the board and just don't talk. If you start talking some crap, I'm going to hang up on you. You're going to get mad at me. So come on, ask your question. And you got to just know how to use your minute, okay? I don't know. AC, I know you got a name. How you doing, AC?
Good morning. Good morning, you both. Pastor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you think Dr. King and God himself can forgive Dorothy and other Black folks for cooling for Paul's Alice?
This man, don't answer him. He's not even worth answering, Pastor. That is so sad, sir. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not mad at you. You don't know no better. Okay, he knows no better. You don't want to. See, that's what I mean about that. That's that spirit that we was talking about, Pastor.
That we deify choices of men
mm-hmm.
politically
mm-hmm.
as opposed to really just seeing who God is. And it further separates us.
Mm-hmm.
Other communities, they come together and they use us.
Mm-hmm.
And we the only ones fight against one another
mm-hmm.
When we disagree with one another.
Yeah, they got on building their community to get resources. But that's what I mean. Something has happened to us. There's a hate in our heart. It's darkened that we don't know how to reach out and to appreciate. We have another kind of thing. But he gave a different name. He was on earlier, Justin. Justin not feeling well. I don't know how he let him on. Let me go to the phone. Israel.
Yes, I'm not going to be long. Thanks for taking my call. I've missed 3 days and three nights. Was it that being said that?
3 days.
Good Friday to Sunday. That's supposed to be 3 days, three nights and 3 days.
Do you understand what he asked about?
No, we succumbed to on the third day he rose from the dead.
I'm getting confused. My question is Friday to Sunday don't seem to be 3 days. That's all I'm saying. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, it seems like it should be Monday. So I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay, right. Okay, Pastor.
Good Friday is the first day. So he died on Good Friday. That's day one.
Mm-hmm.
Day two is Saturday, and Sunday is the third day.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian theological calendar counts Friday as the day.
Mm-hmm.
So he was persecuted. He died on Friday, and then that's day one. Day two is Saturday, and the third day he rose. Now, it's a great question. That has been a great academic question, question that people debate and talk about, but that's the basis for the Christian theology on the resurrection of Jesus.
Thank you so much. Okay. Pastor Weatherspoon.
God bless you. How you doing?
I'm fine, Pastor.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor Weatherspoon?
God bless you, man. God, good to hear your voice.
Same here.
I want to ask you, why push the kingdom? Jesus always talked about the kingdom of God. We need to stay on the kingdom.
Okay, I'll let him. Okay, Pastor. He's talking Weatherspoon is talking about, I'm trying to dump, okay, I can't get rid of Reverend Weatherspoon. Let me see here. Okay. What you doing to my board? Okay. Reverend, you heard what he said, Pastor?
Yeah, I heard what he said. I'm really not in a position to say what other ministers are doing, but I do know many of my dear friends preach about kingdom. Because when we talked about this going outside of the wall, Sister Tillman, that's what we're talking about, kingdom building.
Right.
You know, and our men's ministry doing kingdom man, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
This is about the kingdom and not necessarily the local church getting popular,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Building the kingdom, building mm-hmm. the kingdom of God. Jesus, and whether the spoon is right, Jesus talked about the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Okay, okay, thank you. Let's see what Nehemiah. Your mama gave you a good name, Nehemiah. That means rebuilding the wall, Nehemiah.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Okay.
Good morning.
My question is that in context of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, what do you make up the scripture Matthew 12:38-40?
Okay. And listen, here.
What did he say?
Hello?
The pastor know it. He want to make sure you know it. He said, what does it say?
Oh.
Matthew 12:38-40. He know what it is. Yes. He want to make sure you know. What is it?
Oh, okay. I can read it to you if you'd like me to.
Oh, you want to? Go on.
Yeah.
You got 30 seconds.
Then certain of the scribes and master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly, in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Okay, he got you. Thank you, Nehemiah. He knew it. He just wanted to make sure you was getting it through.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, Pastor going to talk to you. Come visit us tomorrow, Nehemiah. You sound pretty good. Pastor?
So we rewind it back to the three nights.
Uh-huh.
We rewind it back to the three nights.
Uh-huh.
And there are Christian factions that believe that it is three nights. In the Christian theology, we take 3 days. Now, the problem that I have with that, look, I'm talking academically, then I'm going to talk spiritually, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Academically, that's a good discussion. But we as a Christian faith, the predominantly Christian faith, everyone who did it did not subscribe to
that you cannot put that discussion really overlaying simply on the Good Friday Easter account. But what I would say to both brothers, do we believe that he rose?
Mm-hmm. I got you.
We find these critical points that blind us to the fact that he rose.
Okay.
Now, my belief is that he rose on the third day, Good Friday, Saturday, and Easter Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you want to say that he rose on Monday, I will shout with you.
As long as you know he rose, huh?
As long as he rose. These questions are not asked from a let's talk discussion. They are asked from an antagonistic discussion.
I got you.
And see, my God and my belief in God will not allow me to criticize, attack another faith, another opinion, but we can come to the table of commonality. What's the commonality? That he rose.
He rose. Pastor, I ain't got but a few minutes. I want to invite.
I would ask these gentlemen, do they believe that he rose?
Well, they ain't on the phone, but they can come visit us tomorrow. Yeah. What I'm going to do, I got Kirkland and Al and no more calls. I'm going to give y'all 10 seconds to take me to the king, going to take us out. That's what I'm going to do. Kirkland, you got like 10 seconds, and I got to go.
Okay, I'm going to help you out. The crucifixion took place on Thursday. The Bible says that now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. That's a Thursday. The Sabbath is sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. The seventh day of the week is Saturday, not Sunday.
Okay. I got to go, Kirkland. The pastor already answered that. So we're not going to go back over that.
No, he didn't.
Okay, I got
him. No, he didn't.
Yeah, okay, well, yes, he did, Kirkland. Kirkland, yes, he did. He talked, he don't care what day you say. He said as long as he rose. And we got to, okay. Okay, Al, I promise you, and that's it. Al?
Dorothy, I thank you for taking this call. We are under attack by the black atheist. He is 70% of this caller, and he's responsible for most of our problems inside of the community. He's being tricked out of his God by these progressives for government. And the questions that they're asking about God is the reason why Moses remained in the desert his whole life.
Thank you, Al. God bless you. Okay, Pastor. Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'm glad I got you, Al. That was a good way. That's a good one to end on, because I got to go. We're going to take us to the king in a minute. Slowly up under me as the pastor wrap up. Take me to the king. That's what I'm going out on today. We can find it. We haven't been able to play music, but Titus was in the house, so I think he came and fixed it. He gone now.
Yeah.
Okay, Pastor, wrap it up for me.
Kirkland is a good friend of mine. I passed the Kirkland at Tabernacle.
I know you knew who he was.
I would say to Kirkland, there are still people that debate the Thursday.
Okay.
So that's the problem. But what I'm celebrating tomorrow is that he got up. He died for me, and he got up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that in my spiritual mind.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And not in my carnal one. So this has been a great time. I pray everybody has a happy Easter, happy resurrection service tomorrow. I pray that we can get closer to God in our hearts and in our minds. And I just wish everyone a wonderful day tomorrow. Come visit us at Liberty Baptist Church in Chicago, 4849 South King Drive at 11 o'clock. If you have a child that wants to have an Easter fellowship, we'll be there from 11 to 3 p.m. today.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. I'll see you. Sunday. I won't be out of there. I'll see you Sunday. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. I love you. God bless you. I'm glad you're my leader. Thank you, Pastor Hunt. Take me to the king, y'all. Okay, it's 7 o'clock. I really have enjoyed this discussion. Take me to the king. Let me invite y'all to our service tomorrow, 49th and King Drive on the corner. Or if you have children today or youth, they want to come from 11 to 3, join us today. I won't be there, but we got some youth there. But join us tomorrow or listen to us on Facebook or YouTube. Until next week, know God is, God is love. Take me to the king. I'll see you next week. Please stay.